My name's Petrick, I'm an addict. Wow. Wow, this is alright, isn't it? Aye? Standing room only. Well, I'll tell you what, I just got to look around this room, and just to make myself feel better and look at a few faces of people I know in here. And you know what? There's people in here that mean a lot to me, you know, and it's making me feel a little bit more easier. Because I'm anxious, you know, because of course I would be. Why wouldn't I be? Well, let's get on with what I'm about. I'm from South East London, Camberwell, yeah. And got two older brothers, and they were sort of my two older brothers had a bit of a reputation around South London, and I had sort of a lot to live up to as a kid, and I could sort of take liberties with a lot of people when I was young, because I had two older brothers who could look after me, and I used that to my advantage in lots of ways. And my oldest brother was into the sort of drug scene, and I took drugs pretty early, and drugs were sort of start of my, I loved drugs, you know, at the start, you know. I took LSD, I took everything that you could possibly think at a young age of 14 years old. And I was frightened. I remember taking acid and being frightened and being in the hospital. My brother came to, before that I went to the gig at King's Cross to see my brother. And I was only 14 years old, and I went over there, and I banged all the pretty things, but they didn't wind up too pretty. And my brother saw me, and he went to me, he knew what I was like, and he wouldn't let me out of his sight. And he went to me, just stay, and I stay with me brother. He was so angry that I was over there. But I slipped away to get a Coke, and wound up going to see someone I knew over there, and bought myself a tab of acid. Took it straight away, went back to me brother. Within about an hour, my brother said, we're going back home. I remember sitting down in my front room, my brother turning around to my brother, and he started changing. I didn't know what he was going to do with me. I didn't have a clue, and it was really strong stuff. And I was more scared about telling my brother than I was about the stuff, and then all of a sudden it got too much for me. And I remember saying to my brother, I had to tell him in the end. I was frightened. I was in bed. I was, I've got to tell him, he's going to kill me. And in the end I told him. He took me to the hospital, and I remember being in the hospital all night. And as the night progressed, like, you know, I started getting a bit easy, and I thought, you know what, you know, this ain't too bad. we got home, and I used to take it all the time. I used to take it during the week, and it was only a young boy. My dad's Mogadon. My poor dad couldn't sleep at night because I used to nick his Mogadon. And I just used to love taking drugs, and as a progression, and I never wanted to work either. Work was like the last thing that I ever wanted to do. And I decided that thieving, I was never a good thief anyway. I was always getting arrested. And I wound up going to prison and doing that sort of stuff. And when I went to, I went into Ballston and got myself really quite fit. And I was in a gymnastic display team, and I was, you know, thought I was playing football for the Colony side and all that. And, thought I was great, you know, put on a bit of weight, come out of there, thought I was going to rule the world. And my middle brother met me and said my eldest brother was living down Albany Road, and so I went to Albany Road to this squat, and my brother was in there, my eldest brother, who I admired and looked up to. And he was in there with a lot of people, and they was taking drugs, they was injecting and stuff, and I couldn't believe that my brother was doing that. My other brother's going to be looking what he's doing and all that. And within 2 weeks, I was there, sitting beside him, sitting in there, doing exactly the same thing, and that was a progression of it. It was the same thing, prison, coming out. It was going on for years, and I decided I'd get married. That's got to change things, that a little. And so I got married at 21, and wound up going back in prison again. That didn't work. Come out of prison, had a child, that's got to work. And my beautiful Nikki, she's 28 years old now, and but still, nothing could keep me clean. Nothing could stop me from using. Not even a chart. Nothing. And I never knew what was wrong with me. I didn't know how to deal. I didn't know why. I just loved just what everyone done it, and that's what I done. And leaving her and going with other, but you know, just trying to change all the time, trying to change things. I thought everything was better everywhere else, rather than where I was. And I had another child in 91, my son George, he's 18, and I thought this time I'd definitely, you know, I'm definitely going to look after him, look after my children. Left her again, went, you know, chasing after other things. 95, the first time I decided to try and do something about myself and went into a rehab in down in, thought the furthest spot, where can I go? I looked on the map, like Devon, that's miles away, I can't. Anyway, went there to Devon, it's 12 step program, didn't have a clue what 12 steps was, I thought it was a dance or something. I got lodged out of there after 2 weeks and come back to London and back on the same track again. And going to prison, doing the same old stuff in and out and just using and decided, you know, try again. And then going into detox, I've done detoxes, going to detoxes, thought that's all I need. All I need is get a detox and I'll be sweet. That's all I just need to do a detox and I'll come out and I'll just get on with life. And I never knew how to deal with life. I just never had, the role models in my life was thuggery and thieving and stuff like that. I never had anyone to really show me, because I could always just do what I want from an early age. And but I was really sort of quite, I really wanted to get, so I wanted, knew I wanted to be clean and I wanted a better life, but it just wasn't happening for me. And in 99 went to Brighton this time. I went down to Devon again, then went to Brighton and wound up with my daughter with my wife was in a family rehab down there, and we both left there. We left there together and we left our child there, and we knew that if we left or we would come home to use, that we would lose our child, and that couldn't even stop me using. And left her down there, social service come and picked her up, and we parted with her, and she was only 7 months old. Come back to London to use, and you know, I just couldn't stop using. And I think that was what made me more wanting to use, and I carried on using, just trying to bury that down and get rid of that stuff. And without going to detox again, nothing's happening, and in the end, in about 5 years ago, I went to Tenerife, took my son to Tenerife. My wife was in the rehab, and I decided I'm going to come off the gear out there and done a blue label vodka detox. And I come back and I hit London. My son was maybe 13 years old, and he knew at 13 all about gear and all that. He knew I was detoxing, took him out there with me, and I was ill for a couple of nights when I was in there giving my card and my PIN number, and he wound up spending 600 quid of my money. And that was something that's about all I had. And I should take him out stealing with me out in Canaries and making him, now this is what we made me do, like making him steal, and, you know, didn't care. All I wanted was my vodka and get over the detox and all that stuff. And I come home from there, but I'm clean now. So I thought, well, I need to go to NA, that's people go to this NA thing. So I phoned up the helpline and they said to me, there's a meeting at Camberwell, and I went to this meeting at Camberwell on a Thursday night, and I remember going in there and sharing there, and a person in that meeting wrote on that piece of paper what you wrote, and it stood out from all the other names, and he put on it, phone me anytime. And this guy ran up, he's still my friend to this day, and I think that connection when I first got into the fellowship, although I didn't get clean, I got 30 days at that time, and it was that connection that got me that first sort of bite of the cherry of it. And I went back out there again for a few years and decided, right, now, I need to get clean, another detox, back in the detox. And come out of there, got myself a sponsor, and decided I'm going to work this program. Well, I didn't have a clue what a program was. I was so dishonest. I used to read the book, whatever he asked me to read, and done stuff, but I was dishonest. I weren't honest with him at all. To come to a meeting, I turn around and say to him, like, you know, my name's Patrick Maldonics, yeah. Yes, right, I got a sponsor, I worked a good program. I didn't have a clue what a program was. I didn't have a clue, no understanding of the work, what we have to do today to be clean. And I just, after 90 days, I got 90 days, that was most I ever had at that time, never had 90 days, and I wound up going back out there again. And this time I was just so desperate. But back out there every time, it just got worse and worse and worse. And I went back into a detox summit, and they slipped me in a detox. I think it was a bit cut the way they got me in there. This, my key worker, I'd had her for quite a few years, and she slipped me in there, put nearly put her job in jeopardy to get me in there. And I've only found that out recently. And I went into the went into rehab, into a detox on the last year, on the 2nd of February last year, and it was snowing, pure snow. London was at a standstill. I suppose everyone remembers that day. And I got there by a crook. My son took me over there with his mate, this old beat-up old car. The guy phoned me from the diesel and said, "You're going to get here?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to get here. I'm going to get here. If I have to walk there, I'm going to get there." And I slid all the way there, and I get to the detox, and I get to the detox. Done me 28 days, whatever the detox was. Thought, right, now this time I'm going to get, you know, I'm feeling it now. I'm going to get it. Got out there on a Saturday. On a Sunday, I was all right. On the Monday morning, I was on the floor. I was on the floor again. I knew I was going to use, and I had that. I don't know if everyone's had that. I've really got a use feeling. You know? I thought that was a real feeling. So what I'd done, I phoned my wife up, but she was in rehab, and I'm talking to her on the phone, but I'm in tears, and like for me to cry and all that is quite difficult, and I thought I don't want to upset her and ruin her day, and she's in rehab, she'd be worried about me. And I phoned this guy who I first met when I come in the fellowship, and I love this guy so much, and he just said to me, "What?" He wasn't going to me, and he just said, "What are you doing?" And I phoned him. He didn't answer the phone, so I'm destined. I'm going to use. He phoned me back, and we met up at a meeting over at Oban, and he said to me, "Pat, guys, just share honestly, share how you're feeling," and I remember going there. I remember it now, just going in that meeting and sharing honestly, and I was shaking. I was, you know, a bit of being vulnerable in a meeting and letting it go. We went and had something to eat afterwards, and made me feel better. I still was feeling that, like, for a couple of weeks. I held on. I kept going to meetings. And he suggested someone to me to get a sponsor. So I rung this guy a couple of times, and eventually met up with him at the Elephant Castle shopping centre. So we're having a cup of coffee, and he says to me, he started talking about steps and stuff, and I didn't want to come right out with being my sponsor. "How do you fancy taking me through them things in?" And he looked at me and he said to me, "You talking about putting me going for being a sponsor?" I went, "Well, yeah." And he went, "I'm reluctant to do it, really." I went, "What? Reluctant to do it? You know what I'm saying? I'm good stuff. You should be wanting to be my sponsor." And I tell you, that was a day that changed my life. That day when he took me on, he just asked me to do a few simple things like everybody does. It's just that praying, getting down, reading a bit of literature and stuff. My life just sort of took off from there. I started doing a bit of work, you know, just doing a bit of work, you know, just doing a bit of work around my illness, you know, about my step one and all that sort of stuff. So I looked at that, I thought, how's this helping me? And I still was querying whether I was an addict. Wow. And I remember him looking at it and seeing my work, what I'd done, and saying, the normal people do that stuff. And they don't do that stuff. And I've gone on since then doing a bit of work, and I do that stuff, you know, and I do bring new people in the fellowship. I've got an own group, you know, I do service, you know, I do all that stuff. And I've done a bit of work on my step four, step five, stuff that was the most powerful thing I've ever had to do in my life, and fear come up in it, and it was saying that I just didn't want to deal with, and I didn't put it in my step four. My sponsor, God bless him, that he said to me, he mentioned this thing that I needed to look at, and I thought that took courage for him to say that, and I'd done this work and it took courage for me, and when I read it out to him, I could feel my brother got murdered, and it was over that. It was that, and I didn't even have it, the person who killed my brother, in it. And I didn't want to deal with it. I had it pushed down so far. And I'd done the work, and I felt my brother in the room with me, my sponsor, God, and and he said to me, "Don't have no fear. Don't have no fear. You know, just come out of it." And And I realised, you know, I'd done damage to people, I'd hurt people, you know, seriously hurt people. And this guy killed my brother, you know, and I just had to look at that stuff. And but I felt the spirit of my brother in me, and it helped me. And now doing this work, it is helping me, you know, just trying to get. And my sponsor says to me as well, just You know, we're just two guys just trying to get a day clean. That's all I do. You know, that's all we are. You know? All right, well, it's come to the end of now, and I'm feeling a bit goosebumps, and I'm feeling a bit emotional, and I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.